Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
My name is Alex, and I'm an experienced park ranger with years of service under my belt. I never could have imagined the terrifying ordeal that awaited me when I agreed to lead a team of scientists and archaeologists on an expedition to study an ancient Native American settlement in a remote, uncharted area of the national park. As we delved deeper into the ruins, the atmosphere grew heavy with a palpable sense of history. The settlement was remarkably well preserved, a testament to the ingenuity of the people who had once called it home. But as we continued our exploration, we stumbled upon a horrifying scene: the bodies of over 50 people, all brutally slaughtered. It soon became apparent that the settlement had been ravaged by a long-dormant supernatural creature, a wendigo that killed people on sight. The mere mention of its name sent shivers down our spines, and we knew that we had to find a way to stop the creature before it could wreak further havoc. As we searched for answers, we found a series of runes etched into the walls of a hidden cave. The symbols told the story of the wendigo, its origins, and most importantly, the method to banish it from this world. With no time to lose, we worked together to decipher the runes and perform the ritual needed to rid the world of the wendigo. The air crackled with energy as we recited the ancient incantation, and the wendigo let out a blood-curdling scream that echoed throughout the settlement. As the creature writhed in agony, it finally vanished, banished from this realm by the power of the ancient magic. But as we stood among the ruins, Our relief was tempered by the knowledge that we were too late to save the lives of those who had fallen victim to the Wendigo's wrath. The settlement, once a thriving community, now stood as a haunting testament to the dark forces that had brought about its demise. As we returned to the park, the weight of our discovery weighed heavily upon us. The ancient settlement and the tragic fate of its inhabitants would remain a somber reminder of the mysteries that lay hidden within the depths of the national park, and the darkness that sometimes lurked just beneath the surface of our world. Nearly 10 years ago now, my husband, a mutual friend of ours, and I went hiking in the BRM in North Carolina. It was intended to be a day hike, lead by our friends, so we brought only our day packs, enough water for 5 miles, and some of those tuna packs with crackers so we could snack. We get to the trail our friend had supposedly hiked before, and when it forked he said he wasn't sure which one he had taken, but it circled Aroin, so either way it would lead right back. Now is a good time to explain this, friend. He is spacey in the way that we have to remind him to eat the food on the fork he has been holding for a few minutes, or in the way he sliced the tip of his finger off with a bandsaw because he was looking at his coffee. He and my husband had been on many backpacking and hiking trips before, but our friend had never been a leader before. This was the trip he wanted to prove his skills. About 7 miles in, on top of a clearing, he admits he is lost. When we ask a few of the random people setting up camp along the trail where the trail back to the parking lot is, nobody knows. So with no more food, no more water, and dwindling light, we are lost. My husband is excellent at orienteering, so he now takes lead. I am center, and our friend is the caboose. My husband gets out his water filter, filters water into our Nalgene's from a fast-moving river, and picks a direction to follow. About 3 miles into this new trek, it is now pitch black. We are in the thick of the forest. It is cold, and we hear a whimpering, whining sound. We stopped and listened for it, and as we do, my husband turns his headlamp back to look at me and freezes. His eyes grow large, and he tells us to keep moving, and if we see a good, sturdy, walking stick-sized branch, to grab it without stopping. Of course, our friends and I looked behind us. It was a pack of coyotes. We had wandered into their territory, and they were telling us to get out of it. We kept moving, and the coyotes kept following, constantly making these yippy whining sounds to let us know they were still there. It felt like a death walk, and the longest death walk at that. Finally, after what felt like dozens of miles, the trail widened and connected to another trail. But we followed my husband straight on the path we were on, as did the coyotes. The trail opened up to the parking lot, where we quickly walked to our car and quickly jumped in. As we drove away, we saw the coyotes standing in the tree line watching us. Our friend has never led another trek since then. This is a story that my grandfather had told me back from when he was younger. He's had property in his generation for a long time, and he and his father used to hunt on their property out in Texas. As of currently, our family had moved to Minnesota, and then, as where we've been currently residing for a long time, we actually don't even visit the old property anymore, and haven't in ages. My grandfather has been hunting since he was just a boy, so he's a fairly experienced woodsman who doesn't really ever fear much. It still gives me chills to this day to hear this encounter because my grandfather still gets shaken up every time he recounts it. My grandfather hunted all sorts of game, deer, coyotes, squirrels, you name it. They had a lot of property to work with, so he had a lot of time on his hands to really learn the woods around him and get a good feel for the game in the area. There's even wild turkey that would run around there from time to time, so there was plenty to hunt all season long. This particular day ended with him taking a route that he didn't normally take to venture out to a different part of the property that he wasn't used to. He and his father had several different routes they would take on their property to go venture off to different spots to go hunt. After making it maybe a mile is when he started to hear strange vocalizations and other bizarre noises in the woods around him. At first, he told me he thought it was a bird, but he said there's no birds in the woods that sound like these noises did. They would come and go, so he kind of wrote them off at first, but they started getting louder and more frequent. But he kept venturing further because my grandfather isn't afraid of anything. After venturing maybe another mile was when he started to get hit with a very strong skunk, musk odor that was said to smell like rotting meat and skunk. My grandfather described it like coming upon a pile of 100 dead rotting skunks just sitting in the sun and baking. He said it was so strong there'd be times it was hard not to want to gag and vomit. He said he kept looking around but didn't see anything, but he started to get the overwhelming feeling that he was being watched. At this point, he knew something was up. He couldn't find the source of the smell, and things were getting more eerie as time went on. He also told me that as he ventured around the area, there were times where he would run into stuff that didn't quite look right, like markers that weren't quite man-made, as if they might have markings from animals or something. He told me about how he found smaller trees that were ripped up out of the ground and turned upside down and pulled back into the ground. What's scary was this is back in the 1940s, and their property was pretty large as well as being private. So nobody was going to be hanging out on their property doing anything like this. And if so, who's going to rip up all these small trees out of the ground, and who's going to have enough strength to drive them back into the ground? This was really unsettling. My grandfather also believes he stumbled upon a small den of whatever it was he was smelling. He said he also found a small cave opening that opened up into a cave that he estimated to be roughly 30 square feet. But the stench of the dead skunk smell was where it was coming from. He also said he could see bones just from the cave, and it's alone and decided it was probably a good idea to head back home. Although they were the bones of deer, from what he gathered, he didn't want to take any chances. He told me that as he was leaving the den, he started to get an extremely overwhelming feeling of dread and felt the need to get the hell out of there. That's when he noticed rocks starting to be thrown in his direction. And I'm not talking about little pebbles. I'm talking rocks the size of a tire, literally being thrown through the woods about 10 to 20 feet near him. This was obviously enough, so he was so scared he booked it out of there and got back home as fast as he could. He said whatever was throwing those rocks at him had to be incredibly strong and obviously not a human. He said there were some sort of stomping and screaming noises that were going on as soon as he was leaving the den. Something was trying to drive him out of the area, and whatever it was close by. He tells me there were multiple of these things not even 50 feet away, but he couldn't see them. After that, he still continued to hunt on his property, but not nearly as much as he used to, and he never went beyond where he went before. He continued to stay in new areas. His father never said much about it, and I guess there was never really a whole lot to discuss since back then, especially. You'd be practically crazy if he ever brought it up. The property ended up getting passed down to him once his father died, and not long after that, he moved to Minnesota due to his career. I had been out fishing once in the Norwegian mountains, a small lake full of fringpan-sized trout, etc., and during the summer night, this far north, it can be easy to lose track of time. I realized around 22 that it was getting dark, and I start packing up and walking the 2 hours back to my car. This is in the western mountains of Norway. It's pretty steep, and it goes from bare mountain to birch brush, then grazing meadows, a swampy bog, and finally spruce forest. I usually let my mind wander as I walk. There's nothing to be on the lookout for. The most dangerous thing in Norway is the government, and they sure as hell keep to the capital. I'm enjoying the walk satisfied with a day of fishing. It's warm, a slight breeze has picked up, and it's keeping the insects from biting. I'm in no hurry. My peaceful bliss was shattered just around midnight, when a shriek pierces the calm bubble my head was in. I nearly pissed myself. It sounds like a freaking banshee, and my blood starts boiling. Hairs all over my body is rising. I start to sweat. I knew the sound was from a fox, but for the remaining 20 minutes of my hike, I couldn't shake it. I started thinking that it sounded like a man being beaten to death. All kinds of panicked thoughts raced through my head about demons, horror movie monster, corpses. I have heard foxes shriek before, but this caught me by surprise. This took place back in the early 90s. My buddy would work until 9 to 10 p.m. on a Friday, get home, pack his fly fishing gear and essentials, and then rack for 4 or 5 hours. He would then drive an hour to my place, and we'd load all the camping gear into his truck and take off before first light. This particular trip took 3 hours to get to the Cinnamahanning Creek in Potter County, Pennsylvania. We got there early, set up camp, grabbed a brew and sandwich, and finished until dark. We turned in early because of the long day. I woke and could see moonlight peek through the hemlock canopy as I tried to decide how badly I had to go to relieve myself. I decided to get up when I heard something very heavy approaching the tent. I thought, great, a freaking bear. It came within 4 or 5 feet of the tent, and I could see a partial shadow silhouette against the tent. Its breath was a deep, guttural grunt, and it just stood there for almost a minute. I almost crapped myself thinking it was going to attack the tent, so I quietly unzipped the sleeping bag while trying to will the boogeyman away. As if by magic, it left heavy footfalls trailing off into the night. I decided I didn't have to go after all and started to drift off to sleep when I realized it walked away on 2 legs. I instantly knew what it was and lay awake processing everything. I finally fell back to sleep after convincing myself it wouldn't return. In the morning, I was careful not to mention anything to my buddy as I inspected the campsite for footprints. Nothing, zip, nada. The hard-packed earth and surrounding stones prevented any footprints. The weird thing is I kind of blocked out this event for years before acknowledging it to my buddy after he saw a Bigfoot in Lycoming County. Why I buried that event in my memory beats the hell out of me. For fear of ridicule, I don't know. But I can't help but wonder how many other folks have done the same. I was driving Thursday night at 10 p.m., September 7, 2023, on my way to pick up food in the Glenview area. Prior to picking up my food, I had a super uneasy feeling. I felt very brain foggy and just out of it. I really wasn't focused. I want to think it's stress because of working a 9-5. So, as I was driving on W, Lake Avenue, I was listening to music and singing along to my favorite playlist. I wasn't really thinking much. I drove by the cemetery earlier on River Road, which I hate driving by. I started, obviously, feeling pretty spooked, like out of nowhere. I don't know why I was psyching myself out, but I continued to not pay mind to that feeling and kept singing along to my music. It was Lady Gaga, so I definitely was singing my heart out, so I kept driving. As I drove by the forest on W, Lake Avenue, I quickly saw a strange creature standing still on the right-hand side of the road. I wanted to believe it was a deer, but this thing I saw was 6-7 feet tall, standing upright. Deer don't do that. It had a dark gray cement-like colored body, and its eyes gave out the same red as bicycle reflectors do. That's what made me look. When I quickly locked eyes with it, my stomach dropped, and I got so scared. The same feeling you get when riding a roller coaster. I freaked out for a bit, and I was thinking, keep driving. Don't look back. Don't look back. I quickly sped up to the upcoming light and intersection. I wanted to be around other cars in the intersection and more into businesses and buildings. I kept telling myself, nope, that was a deer. That was a deer. You didn't see us. I picked up my Bonchon chicken and drove on the highway back home instead. I forgot about it and went to work the next day. I kept thinking about it, so I told my coworker what happened and what I saw. She's into paranormal and conspiracies and told me of the Mothman scene all over Chicago. especially around the O'Hare Airport area. So, throughout my research, I saw the Google Maps sighting site and had to reach out. Again, I never thought I would be doing this. But, hey, here I am. Whatever these things are, I hope they're nice. I live in Vermont, and the experiences I had are in a small border town called Vernon in the southeast corner. New Hampshire to the east and Massachusetts to the south. I was taking my 13-year-old nephew hunting. It was his first or second time sitting in a blind alone. I believe the year was 2013. Anyway, his blind was roughly 200 yards from mine. It was early and very dark and somewhere around 5 a.m. The first light was roughly an hour away. We're walking on a snowmobile trail. My nephew's blind was on our left and up the side of the mountain, about 75 to 100 yards. He left the trail and headed up to his spot. I continued down the trail for a couple hundred yards. My blind was similarly located on the left and up the steep mountainside. As I turned and left the clear trail, I heard a very loud and long howl that was not like anything I'd ever heard. I froze in my tracks and listened in complete shock and awe. I felt no fear or even concern. The howl, scream lasted for roughly 10 seconds. It wound up in a crescendo to a high pitch, and then a long, slow wind down and ended with an incredibly low guttural double grunt. The lung capacity and vocal ability blew my mind. Nevertheless, I continued to my blind. Once there, I moved a few sticks and twigs and settled in. The howl was on a loop in my mind, and I was trying to rationalize what I had heard. The topography was like a giant bowl below me. Roughly 800 to 1,000 yards through the trees were some pasture fields and a gravel pit. Beyond those fields were fields, farms, and houses. Then the Connecticut River and New Hampshire behind and another mountain. Any loud noise like a truck exhaust, brake, or car horn could be easily heard, even coming from New Hampshire. I was rationalizing the sound as coming from a bull. As a crow flies, the closest pasture was maybe 800 yards straight down the snowmobile trail, and that was roughly where the sound seemed to come from. Roughly 10 minutes had passed, and it happened again. It sounded to me like a perfect duplicate. It gave me goosebumps. We stayed most of the day. My nephew had called me on his walkie after the second yell. He was freaked out a bit. I told him not to worry about it, that I was between him and whatever it was. We decided to keep hunting, and though we never saw it, a deer, or anything else, we stayed put until lunch. Fast forward about 4 years. My father, brother-in-law, and I purchased a 30-acre parcel of land half a mile as the crow flies from where I was hunting that day. That summer, I bought a portable sawmill and set it up on it on the new land. I've cut trees and milled the lumber day in and day out. My dog was always with me and loved roaming around or just hanging out. One day, I'd been sawing up some hemlock boards and noticed the dog was not around. I shut the mill down and started calling to him. I found him hiding under my truck. That surprised me. He had never been afraid before, but from that day on, he would never leave the cab of my truck unless I forced him, which I seldom did. Something had scared him. I do not know what. That same summer, I camped up there with a buddy Scott. I was asleep in my tent and was awoken by deep breathing and some low grunting noises. My back was against the side of the tent as I lay there listening. Whatever was outside the tent began rubbing against my back. I was sleeping on a double air mattress, so my back was a little over 2 feet from the ground. My buddy had a young pit bull named Jersey with him, and I thought that she was the culprit. Scott's tent was 20 feet from mine, and by chance, he had gotten up to relieve himself. He unzipped the flap, so I said something to the effect of, "Hey, Jersey is out here rubbing against my back." Scott replied that Jersey was in his tent and had not been out of it. At that point, I also got up and exited my tent. I never heard anything walk away. It was 4 a.m. and dark. I shot my flashlight around but saw nothing. I concluded that it must have been a black bear and went back to bed. Then there was the sound of wood hitting wood. It was loud like a shotgun. Scott heard it, and we discussed it for a couple minutes, but neither exited our tents. I was awake now, just laying in my tent, when right at first light, a rock was hurled from where the tree knock had occurred. I heard it clearly crashing through the trees and landing with a loud thud, followed by the sound of a rock rolling through the leaf litter. Judging by the sound of the crashing branches and the thud, I guess the rock is soccer ball sized. At this point, I rushed out of the tent and scanned the area, seeing nothing at all. I began yelling stupid or whatever was messing with us. I looked all around, but was unable to locate the rock. Since that day, I had strange things happen for that entire summer. Every time I drove up the old dirt road, there would be a tree or multiple trees laying across the road. No stumps. The trees were not large, always completely dead, and lying directly across the road. It was obvious someone or something was deliberately dragging them there. My father had rocks thrown at him for 20 minutes while hanging posted signs around the perimeter. They were small golf ball sized and landed all at his feet or a few feet away. He saw a few of them flying in, like being lobbed underhand. He finally yelled at it, thinking it was me playing a joke, and it stopped. My father's 80 years old, I would not throw rocks at him. I'm not saying this was a Sasquatch. I've not seen one, nor do I want to see one. It would likely be a deal breaker for me. I go to my land with no fear. I want to keep it that way. If I saw one, I think that would change my perspective, and I would not enjoy the land anymore. My brother-in-law spends more time on the land than me. I've told him my experiences, and he brushes them off. He's never told me he had any weird experiences, and I rarely bring it up. I sold my sawmill 2 years ago, and nothing strange has happened since. Make of that what you will. I was on an assignment while in Afghanistan with my 6-man team with a guide. We started to enter the Korangal Valley, a K, nicknamed by the locals as the Valley of Death. It is located in the Dara Epech district of Kunar province. The valleys are among the deadliest places on earth. History shows countless men, groups, and militaries have entered, but never come out. Our guide refused to take us through, so we went ourselves. There are stories of giants, caves, demons, shapeshifters, etc. It still gives me goosebumps. I now fast forward, back home to the United States. My group of six decided in our spare time to work the Appalachian Trail, starting in New Hampshire and ending in Georgia. All told, it took us 7 months total to complete, with weeks in between of work, as we did not complete it all at once. We were near the Shenandoah Valley area. We made camps, set up 3 tents, made a fire, and cooked dinner after dinner at about 19 hour or 7 p.m. Three of my men, call signs Voodoo, Panther, and Deuce, sat in a circle and talked. Two others, Dingle and Reaper, did perimeter watch. The camp perimeter was not far away due to the steep terrain. I would guess both sides were about between 25 and 33 degree angles. None of us could see how.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Far up it was. It was too thick with trees and undergrowth brush. It was dusk when we made camp. I went to rest in my tent as I had the next watch. I heard all three of my guys say "what WTF" just as I heard a loud thump on the ground and then another. Now all of us are expert marksmen and well trained to instantly assess any situation, draw our weapons, sight, and threat, and decide to engage within a fraction of a second. We trained for this. As I exited my tent unarmed, I was the only one not carrying a weapon other than my 7-inch serrated double blade knife K-bar. As I stood up outside my tent, all three men, plus now the other two men, were standing with weapons drawn. Instantly, they started firing at this 10-foot-tall creature that was about 12 feet away. It was head to toe, a very reddish-brown color hairy creature. It had an ape-like face and large red glowing eyes looking right at us. The growling was such a volume it reverberated in my rib cage. It was like nothing like I had ever felt before. There was a horrible mix of skunky and sulfur odor. It made our eyes water. It then began running with long strides that no human could do. It was like a blur as it passed through the edge of the camp. Then it let out a loud woman-like shriek as it turned and went down that very steep ravine into the darkness of the night. All the while it snapped two trees off about 8 feet off the ground while it descended into the ravine. After it was over, everyone rushed to the ravine edge, but it was gone. Now our guns don't miss, especially at that close range. No freaking way. Here's the really bizarre part. At daylight, since no one slept after that, we were all locked and loaded waiting for another attack. We looked for blood tracks. There was no blood, only two large barefoot prints. About 50 rounds were emptied into this creature at short range. Again, we all just said, "No way, that's not possible." Down the ravine, about 25-30 feet, were the two snapped off trees, which we guessed were between 4 or 5 inches in diameter. We broke camp and continued on the trail southward. We're about 12 kilometers and begin to believe that this thing was shadowing us from above. We couldn't see it, but we can certainly hear it. Maybe it was another one, who knows? We all discussed it at great length and surmised it was obviously some man-like creature. We never discussed it again. That night is etched in my mind along with that unique odor, nor will I ever forget the unique growl and shrill sound it made. On December 25, 2016, I went to bed between 9 p.m. 10 p.m. PST. I live in Laguna Hills, California. At approximately 3 a.m. PST in the morning, I was awoken by a commotion in my bedroom involving my wife and daughter. I didn't investigate the matter and tried to return to sleep. However, my young daughter and wife failed to return to the bedroom. I got up to find out what happened. I found my wife and daughter going to sleep in my daughter's bedroom. My wife briefly explained to me our small dog, who originally went to sleep with me, pooped on the far side of the bed. When my wife and daughter got into bed, my daughter got it on her leg. My wife cleaned my daughter and semi-cleaned the sheet. We have a very small dog, under 5 pounds, so we're not talking a lot of waste. Anyway, I went back to my bedroom and changed the sheets because I could still see a little of the dog waste. I then told my wife she could return to bed with me, but she was too tired to get back up, so I let her be. Well, I am a light sleeper, so it was hard for me to fall back asleep. I want to mention I wear a sleeping mask to bed at night and take magnesium before going to bed because both help me fall asleep faster and have more sound sleep. I have had sleeping problems my whole life. I turned on the TV and watched it for about 1 hour before becoming sleepy again. When I fell asleep, I had a vivid dream that bothered me, and I suddenly awoke. It was still dark outside, and I was lying on my left side. I was thinking about the dream when all of a sudden I felt static electricity all around me. At that moment, I knew they were coming. I started to roll over onto my back as the static electricity grew stronger, but I also began to feel paralysis in my body. It felt like I was moving in a giant jar of molasses. I was just able to begin to turn on my right side before I was unable to move any further. My right arm and hand were hanging off the bed. I then realized I could see through my night sleeping mask. There was no color. Everything looked blackish gray and very fuzzy. It was like I was seeing the static electricity. I then saw a small brownish gray being no more than 5 feet tall materialize through my bedroom wall on my right side. It was then standing right through my nightstand and in front of the light fixture. I remember thinking how diminutive in size he was. He then grabbed my right hand, which was hanging off the bed, and squeezed it. I then heard a voice inside my head saying, "Yes, we are real." While he was squeezing my hand, I felt a sudden sense of euphoria, excitement, and elation. I then communicated back to him using my thoughts and I said, "Hi, my name is." As soon as that, the event was over. The being left through the bedroom wall, and I remained paralyzed for a little while longer. The static electricity in the room started to dissipate too. I was in such a state of shock, I couldn't believe it. I sat up in bed, not knowing what to do. I laid back down because then a deep comfort overtook me. I felt such a great sense of satisfaction because I now knew in my heart and mind that I was going crazy and that others I knew weren't going crazy too. I had been given peace of mind. I went back to sleep having another vivid dream, which I still remember. I then awoke around 8:30 a.m. PST. My wife was still asleep, but she awoke a short time later, and I told her everything. I was expecting her to tell me it was a dream, but she said the exact opposite. She believes our dog sensed something was going to happen, and that's why it went potty in our bed. Our dog, whom we've had for 7 years, has never done that. She also mentioned our dog was acting very strange the night before, and we thought she was getting sick or eating something bad. This ended up causing my wife and daughter to sleep in another room, which left me sleeping alone in the bedroom. The next night I had a vivid dream of awakening, laying on my left side and completely naked. Everything was fuzzy and my vision was somewhat blurry. My first thought was, "Oh my God, I can't believe this is happening in my house." But then I noticed I wasn't lying on my bed. I then noticed a small alien whose skin appeared brownish gray like a grocery bag on my right side. I was lying on the very edge of a table. The alien had his left hand on my right shoulder and his right hand towards my feet. His head was turned towards my feet, and he was slightly bending over me at the same time. At this time, I noticed a feeling of deep discomfort in my lower back and buttocks area, but I couldn't move or say anything. Right at this moment, the alien somehow knew I was aware, awake, and turned his head towards me. We were looking eye to eye. Next thing I know, I'm awake in my bed and it's early morning and I can see blue sky out the window. I told a close friend who advised I should look for any strange marks on my body. I found 2 parallel marks on my left, so I took pictures of both my knees. The marks have faded since then. I don't believe I can no longer doubt everything that has happened to me, and that continues to happen to me. I am just happy knowing I don't have to torment myself every day wondering if I am insane or not. Okay, so 5 years ago, I was at my cousin's house for Thanksgiving. And let me preface this by saying they live on a very big hill. Very small mountain in South Carolina. Me and my cousin were walking down the hill into the woods. It was close enough to the house for us to see it, and it was about 2 p.m. roughly because that's our normal time for Thanksgiving gatherings. So we were walking down the mountain and we stopped to do something. I do not remember what we were looking at, but it was completely silent, and then suddenly I heard a very, very loud gust of wind and extremely loud stomping, like louder than a 500-pound man running through the forest. So I turned and saw about 80-ish feet away, a glimpse of a white, beige butter color furred thing on all fours. It sprints extremely loudly parallel to us and goes between some trees, and then it's dead silent again. The fur was long, like a long-haired dog's fur. It's hard to describe truthfully, but you can look up sheepdog for a good example. Anyways, I get scared and me and my cousin run up the mountain to the house, and I ask him if he saw it too, and he said he did, but he didn't react much or act like it bothered him at all. Part of me suspects he thinks him making it up, and he is just playing along. Their family commonly makes up or exaggerates stories. Anyways, later, about an hour later, we went to that spot again, and this part is a bit fuzzy because I can't remember what part is real memory and what is fake memories my brain just randomly developed and added in. But where we were standing earlier in the story, there was what appeared to be a print in a bare spot of the ground. The leaves were moved. I don't fully remember what it looked like, but I remember thinking it was similar to a bear claw but different. I think it had 6 toes instead of 5 and a thumbish looking one. It was quite round too, I think, like a paw. Take that all with a grain of salt, though. The print memory is fuzzy. What could this be? My initial thought is a polar bear with some disability, but they don't live here. Then I thought it could be an albino bear of my cousin's bear watch, and they would have seen it again. Plus it was dirty beige, white, not pure albino white. Plus, the sound randomly starting and stopping is weird. I'm at a loss. I was sent to a wilderness treatment program in southern Utah about a year ago. At the time, I didn't believe in skinwalkers, wendigos, or anything like that. Just to mess with a superstitious staff member, I would scream at the top of my lungs, "If there are any skinwalkers out there, you can suck a fat turd out of my Iowa egg. Hole." Fast forward to early yesterday morning, around 3-4 a.m. I was out hunting on a family property, taking aim at a big coyote and a pack of others. Suddenly, all the noises in the forest went completely silent, and the coyotes took off running. I grabbed my night vision binoculars and started looking around. I didn't see anything, but I smelled the worst rotting flesh smell ever. I closed the windows and blinds, laid down in my hunting shack, and kept my 911 close to me. I waited until 10 a.m., just lying there. Then I opened the door and bolted a good half mile to my truck, started it up, and took off. Also, there have been reports of cattle in the area turning up ripped apart and dead. I never had any of these issues before I got sent away, and I'm thinking one of those creatures followed me back here. I'm wondering what I'm dealing with, if I can kill it or get rid of it, and what the best course of action is. I won't go hunting again until I'm sure that thing is gone. I'm located in western Iowa, in the middle part. Any help is appreciated. Thanks in advance. I was fly fishing about an hour from my apartment here in Montana. I was generally familiar with the area and had fished that stream a couple times before. It was starting to get to dusk as I was making my way around the final bend before the stream ducked under a makeshift bridge that served as an informal trailhead. It could maybe fit one or two cars on the shoulder of the dirt road. However, there was clearly no cars or trucks parked there. I got up onto the bank and started walking toward the bridge and saw there were some small huckleberry bushes off the edge of the bank. I started picking some of the berries. It had been only a minute or two when out of nowhere I heard what sounded like a sizeball tree fall over. It scared the shit out of me because it was a calm summer night. No wind, nothing. The sound seemed like it was not more than a couple 100 feet off. It got my blood going, but the curious thing was how it was dead silent after the crash. I figured if it was a bear or larger animal like a moose, I'd hear something. Shuffling feet, branches cracking in the distance, but I heard nothing. Now I can't say this was Bigfoot, obviously, but it was something out of the ordinary that seemed more than just happenstance. This happened in 2011. I was maybe 12, 13 years old, and was with my parents in Florida at a hotel, going to Disney soon for the first time. They wanted to get to Disney early, so we called a cab at around 6 or 7 a.m. since it was a decent drive. I remember being excited to just be in Florida since I live in New York. I watched out the window. The sun was up already, but the roads were very empty and quiet. We were traveling on a highway, with dividers and highway on the other side parallel to us, and past the other side was tons of open green fields and wilderness which I was looking at. Being from New York, Long Island, I never saw such lush, flat fields of green. All of a sudden, I notice up ahead a tall, huge, dark figure at the edge of the road. It looked like he wanted to cross the highway, but he was stationary as we drove by. My first thought was, is that a billboard or something? Since they have big billboards for ads on the highway. I glanced at it and suddenly got a sharp, intense feeling in my gut, like someone had punched me. I did a double take and stared at it as we drove by. It looked human-shaped, but like a huge dark mass with thick, almost black fur and a weird-shaped head, and it was definitely alive, and it wasn't human. I remember saying, "Mom, look at that big thing standing there." But she was busy looking at the map and ignored me. I was intrigued, and it was at the back of my mind the entire vacation. When we got home, I started looking into it and learned about Bigfoot and other cryptids and became obsessed. I saw the skunk ape Bigfoot of Florida. It looked exactly like it. My parents don't believe me, but I know what I saw, and it gave me an intense physical reaction that something wasn't right. It was my instincts. I went up Echo Mountain with a girl I was dating once. It's a reasonably tough climb, but at the top there are the ruins of this old hotel complex that burned down several times about a century ago. Old narrow gauge railway stuff, etc. Anyway, we get to the top and we're sitting on what's left of this concrete staircase, looking out over the city, and I hear a rustling in the bushes somewhere behind us. I turn around and it stops, so I shine my light on it. It's some guy, in a weird hunched-over pose, looking at me. Maybe 150, 200 feet away. He just freezes in the beam of light for a second, then quietly sidesteps back behind a bush and disappears. I called out after him, but he must have gone back into his underground lair. Anyway, we decided we should head back down the mountain immediately. Still not sure if drugs or serial killer, but hey, we survived. Girl refused to go up Echo Mountain again, though. About a year ago, I went camping with some friends. There were about six of us, and we went for a walk around sunset. I walked ahead of the group, about 5 to 10 minutes, and then stopped in a clearing on a hill to wait for them to catch up. I was looking around at the sun going through the trees when I saw something staring at me, peeking its head out from a tree. It had red or yellow eyes, and its head looked like a log or stump. It stared at me, and I stared back at it for about 30 seconds before realizing I could see it ducking back out of view. My friends arrived at about the same time as I did, and when I looked at them and turned back, it was walking away. It was tall and thin, with skin that looked like bark, and long arms with hands that resembled sticks. It walked into the darkness. When I told them what I saw, they told me it was an owl and made fun of me for being scared of a bird. I haven't gone into the woods since. Should I be scared? It's been haunting me since, and I want to know what I saw. I don't know if this is the right place to ask for help, but I would appreciate it. When I was around 14 or 15, me and my friends were playing airsoft deep in the Alabama woods, having a good time. Later on, one of our friends, we can call him H, shot my brother with a BB gun that he wasn't supposed to have, and it definitely hurt him a butt. I, in anger, started running at him, shooting my airsoft gun, and he bolted off. He was a very large guy and a bit older than us, and he was in a white shirt, that part is important. We continued to play about 30 minutes or so, and he never came back, so we started calling him and looking for him when we saw what we assumed was him about 30 or so yards in the distance, just a big white object. When we called him, or what we assumed was him, he bolted the opposite way. We decided to go back to the house to get my friend's dad to come make him quit running. When we got back to the house, he was already there, and had been for nearly an hour. We were all so confused as to what we saw in the woods that day. A few years later, we learned about the Alabama white thing and found it to be a huge coincidence, but I always wonder what if to this day. I'd like to preface by saying that I got home about an hour ago, and this actually happened. I never have paranormal encounters and genuinely try to approach everything with a questioning mind. My partner and I like to hike at a local park late at night. It's a historic park in Pennsylvania, about 3,500 acres in size, that spans over into the MD and DE borders. One of the trails allows you to cross through all three states. The entire park is mostly dense woods with a creek running through. Usually we park near an old church with a Revolutionary War cemetery that is famous for a grave known as the Ticking Tomb. I've been to every corner of this park, day or night. We usually hike a short loop that is roughly a half mile in length. We've walked this trail literally thousands of times and never once felt anything strange. But tonight was different. We made a spontaneous decision to go on a night hike and left the house at about 10:45 p.m. I decided to take the narrow dirt road to our usual parking spot, rather than driving a mile up the road to a paved access road like we normally do. About halfway down the ragged dirt and gravel road as we rounded a corner, an animal dashed across the road in the path of our headlights. I've never seen anything like this animal, and I've never seen an animal that size in this area that I couldn't immediately identify. Its size was somewhere between a dog and a human, and it moved so quickly it almost looked like it flew. A literal black blur with some hazy details and bright silver eyes. My partner also saw it. I'm generally a skeptic, so I just wrote it off, and we both just kind of explained it away. We made it to our parking spot and pretty much resolved not to talk about it and continue on as usual. Immediately when we got out onto the trail, we noticed the frogs and cicadas were extremely loud, louder than I've ever heard them at night around here. As we progressed down the trail, it felt like we had to talk over the cicadas. We sort of quietly yet frantically attempted at lightening the mood with conversation. Unbeknownst to me at the time, about 100 meters down the trail, my partner had begun to hear what he thought were extremely distant voices. I also noticed that the cicadas got progressively quieter the further we got down the trail. We made it about a quarter mile before a sudden, louder sound felt like it cut through the space between my ears. It was something like a glitching microphone or megaphone way off in the distance. My partner pointed out to me later that there was nothing for the echo to bounce off of in that area. The moment we heard that sound, I stopped immediately and asked if he heard it, too. Not only had he heard it, but he was convincing himself that he was hallucinating the sounds the entire time until I finally acknowledged it. Without discussion, we both immediately turned around and started walking at a fast pace back to the car. I felt like it was a bad idea to run, but we had to leave right away. We hoofed it back to the car with the feeling that something was following us all the way to the entrance. When we finally got back into the car and started driving, the feeling of urgency didn't go away. We made it all the way down the main road to our first turn, and I felt a moment of complete confusion. As I slowed to the turn, my partner asked me, "Do you not know where you are right now?" Because neither do I. We have literally driven this road thousands of times. I made a split-second decision to turn right, which was thankfully the right choice. The next road went along the perimeter of the park in parallel with the trail we were hiking. There was tons of fog, which hadn't been there on our way in. We spent maybe 20 minutes at the park. Just as we made our way past the area that we had turned around, another animal darted across the road in front of our headlights. It looked exactly like the one we saw on our way and only closer and in more detail. It had silver eyes and what looked like ears or horns. It was still insanely fast and either a blur or a wraith. I don't know how else to describe it. I get this really weird feeling when I think about it or talk about it. The feeling started when I saw it run across the road the second time. I feel like it's because I acknowledge that, whatever that thing was, I couldn't explain it. I feel an almost burning sensation in my sinuses, my eyes water, and I get a strange tingling in the back of my skull. Like I said before, I'm usually a skeptic when it comes to this kind of stuff. But this experience has left me rattled.